Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Well, this morning, we're still in the series of Walking in Freedom. Have you enjoyed the series so far? Good? Yeah, it's been good. I think so, right? I've been challenged by it. Just this idea of walking in freedom is amazing. It's something we all need all the time, right? In a lot of different ways. And this morning, I want to talk about this idea of walking in freedom from comparison. How many can relate or brave enough to raise your hand that you sometimes think about comparison and you sometimes deal with this? This thing, comparison, that we, I think, all deal with. Some of us, thank you for being brave enough to raise your hand. Others are polishing their halos and like, no, I don't deal with that, right? Just kidding. Joking. 90% of us deal with it. The other 10 are lying. That's usually how that goes. Comparison is this big thing, right? I know it is for me. And just to give you an example from my life, recently I retired my rusty old clunker car. It was a clunker car. If anyone knew my car, you knew how to spot it. It was the one with rust falling off on the road, probably. The rust was getting so bad. Actually, I would drive through water on the road or whatever, and water would actually get into the car, and the carpet would start getting wet inside the car. So it was, if you picture, remember the Flintstones, it was a little bit like starting to threaten to be a Flintstones car. And so I upgraded to something that had just slightly less rust, actually not even really newer, but just less rust. But anyways, for many years, I drove this clunker of a car. It was rusting for years already, badly, it did a great job of keeping me very humble. I was very aware, if you were wondering, I was very aware of how it was the rustiest and oldest car on the road. I would drive down the road and I would look around and every car around me was newer and nicer than mine. That's what it felt like, at least, right? I ran into somebody who knew me many years ago, and we hadn't seen each other for a long time, but he knew me from way back when, and he's like, oh, Brad, so you're still driving the old car, eh? And I'm like, yep. Yeah, I am. It's getting me from point A to point B, right? Anyways, but in comparison to everyone else around me, it felt like I was at least 10 years behind with upgrading my car. That's just what it felt like. And so I really had to do a heart check all along as I was buying a new car. Like, okay, is this, it wasn't new, but is this why, right? Why are you buying a new car? And I can honestly say it was because of the rust. But really though, right, this comparison thing is very real. It's very real. It's something that a lot of us deal with. Have you ever felt that way in some situation or other? Some situation where you kind of feel like you're looking around and you realize, what if I'm not keeping up, right? What if I'm not keeping up? I think we all compare ourselves. And these days, it's so easy to compare ourselves to others. When you think about what social media has done for this, right? It's so easy to constantly be scrolling. And we have all the access to scroll through all the highlights of everyone we know and see all the amazing things that they're doing and how amazing their life is going and all the amazing things that they're able to buy and invest in and all of that stuff, right? So we have all this access to seeing everyone else's stuff, and we can get caught in this place of constantly kind of comparing, right? Our cars, our houses, our toys, our vacations, our relationships, our giftings, our bodies, right? All these different things. We find ourselves often in this place where we're constantly gauging our lives in relation to the other people's lives around us. Right? And we're kind of subconsciously or sometimes even consciously, we're engaging in this unspoken contest, right? Of keeping up with whatever the cultural norm might be. Anyone relate? Am I the only one? Okay. Thanks for being brave. We all deal with this, right? And of course, inspiration and comparison are not the same thing, right? If I can just say that right off the hop, we want to be inspired by other people in healthy ways. Like if you walk by someone in the foyer and their shirt is buttoned up all crooked, it's okay to be inspired by that and check your own shirt and make sure it's not all crooked, right? Silly example, but you get what I mean, right? Inspiration is different than comparison. Comparison is this thing we do where we're gauging our lives against other people's lives in a way that makes us feel either worse about ourselves or better about ourselves. And neither of those are good things, right? Isn't it true that comparison so often will either make us feel more insecure on one hand, or it will make us feel proud on the other hand? That's what comparison does so often, right? We compare, we say, wow, like, wow, look at their house, look at their cars, look at their stuff, look at how their marriage is amazing, their kids are always behaving, right? We think, wow, and that insecurity creeps in and we feel like we don't measure up and it causes us to feel insecure and we start to strive to be more like them, right? Or on the other hand, it makes us feel proud and it's like, ooh, yikes, look at their car, look at their house, look at how their kids are acting, right? That's a real thing for parents with young kids. It's true, right? We usually, in comparison, feel insecure or proud. And neither of these things honor God. These insecurities, this pride, this envy and jealousy that can so quickly come from comparison, it so quickly takes us off the path that God has for us. In James 3, it talks about this in verse 13 through 16. If you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. James is sometimes very, very blunt and straight with what he says, right? For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So it makes it very clear, jealousy and selfish ambition, it so quickly takes us off the path that God has for us, right? And according to James, it says that it actually causes us to walk toward disorder and even evil in our lives. Guys, we can't underestimate the danger of comparison. You can't underestimate the danger. There's so many dangers when you start to think about it. You know, it can cause us to buy things that we can't afford, right? It can cause us to lose our contentment. It can steal our joy, right? How many of us have related to that, right? Of course, you know, this discontent or this comparison that leaves us discontented, right? It can also cause low self-esteem and make us feel inadequate. It can cause insecurity, like I said. It can cause us to resent others, right? Like, that's hard to admit, but it's true, right? Like, sometimes even people we love dearly, and you kind of like, you're scrolling through and it's like, man, like, look how much, you know, their life is awesome. And it's just like this, almost like this resentment, like, why isn't my life that good, you know? It's not good, right? And it's damaging to relationships in that way. Right, we don't want to let that resentment come. It's a danger. Another danger, it keeps us from serving. Right, it keeps us from serving. We might look around, you know, and take church for example, but any example, right? It might keep us from serving. We look around and we see, wow, like look at all the abilities for this ministry or that ministry, and yeah, no, maybe not, right? Maybe not, because I don't know that I have much to offer. Right? It can keep us from serving. It makes us lose focus on our calling. It makes us wander into other people's lanes. It causes us to look down on others and treat them as less valuable, right? These are all real dangers of comparison, and that's why we can't underestimate the dangers of comparison. We have to realize it's a big deal to God. Comparison is a big deal to him. Thou shalt not covet. It made it into the Ten Commandments, and often we know this, right? Covet is a fruit of comparison, right? It made it into the Ten Commandments. We also see in Numbers 12 a really amazing example. You know how there's the sibling trio? You have Moses and Aaron and Miriam, their sister, right? And a lot of us know Moses, and we all know Aaron, but we don't necessarily know Miriam. Miriam, their sister, she was a prophetess. She was a worship leader. She was very well respected. She was the one that wrote a song after they crossed the Red Sea. And so it was like, she was kind of a big name in that time. She was one of the three that were leading the people of Israel to the promised land out of Egypt. And so Miriam, she's a celebrated person, but her and her brother Aaron, they fall into this trap of comparison, and they find themselves comparing themselves against Moses. And this brings them to a place, comparison brings them to a place of actually speaking against Moses and criticizing him and criticizing who he married and all that stuff. And we see in Numbers 12, 1 to 2, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses because he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he spoken through us too?" But the Lord heard them. So we see that they're comparing. They feel inferior for some reason. They feel like, hasn't God used us too? Hasn't God spoken through us too? Like, what's so special about Moses, right? And this made God very angry. And we'll see in a moment how angry, but it's so sad to see how these people who were in leadership and they were respected people with giftings and purpose and all kinds, and they fell in this trap and it derailed their life to the point that they were comparing. And it caused so much damage to their relationship. It made God angry. I encourage you to read the whole story sometime. I'll give you just the cliff notes. Basically, God, he heard their criticism, and he called a family meeting. He said, "Guys, get into the temple. We're going to talk about this." And so he has this sit down with them, and he basically says, "What are you thinking? How dare you speak against your brother like that? He is chosen by me." And so then after that, the Lord is very angry with them in Numbers 12, 9, and he departed. As the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, there stood Miriam, her skin as white as snow from leprosy. Someone say, whoa. Whoa. Like, what? God did what? When Aaron saw what had happened to her, he cried out to Moses, "Oh, my master, please don't punish us for this sin we have so foolishly committed." So Moses asked God to heal his sister, and God does heal his sister, but only after 7 days of suffering with leprosy and being in quarantine. Crazy, right? God takes it seriously. It's a big deal to him, and it's still a big deal today. Tell someone next to you, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We can't underestimate the negative effects that it can have in our life. We need to remember the importance of examining our lives, right? And striving to walk in freedom from comparison. I want to talk about two ways to combat comparison in our life. The first one is focus on your race. Focus on your race. This is an amazing way to combat comparison. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I love how it gives us this picture of all of us running a race. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down." And if I can add, including comparison. "Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Guys, picture yourself as a runner on a track. You have a race marked out for you. You have white lines on either side that God has put there for your life. He has a race marked out for you. And the last thing that we want to do as people of God is get caught in this place where we're running our race, but we're so busy looking around to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, and we get caught looking at everyone else's race, and it pulls us out of our own race. It causes us to stumble. It causes us to go outside of those white lines that God has given for our race. That's what comparison does, right? It takes us outside of our race. It takes our eyes from the race in front of us to everyone else's race around us. And by this, we lose our confidence. We stumble into other people's lanes. We try to look for our identity and others' approval. We ultimately lose sight of our purpose. Here's the thing. I can't win someone else's race. You can't win someone else's race. I can't fulfill your purpose. You can't fulfill my purpose. So why do we let comparison pull our eyes and our focus off of our race and onto others' race, right? We've got to remember. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it's beautiful. One of my all-time favorite verses, it's just packed. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece. Underline that word. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Guys, we are God's masterpiece. Let me remind you of this foundational truth. You are a masterpiece created by God with a purpose. It says that he planned good things for us to do long ago. Talk about intentionality. Talk about purpose. You are a masterpiece created uniquely for a purpose that God planned for you. I love Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says it this way. He uses the acronym SHAPE. We've all been given a shape, S-H-A-P-E. Did I spell it right? I usually pass spelling in school. I got it, SHAPE. We all have spiritual gifts, right? These God-empowered abilities for serving him. We all have a heart, hopes, dreams, desires that God has put in us. Abilities. We all have abilities that God has given us. We all have a personality. We all have experiences. S-H-A-P-E. These are five things that make us who we are. Can I remind you that your shape is given to you by God for his purpose? For a purpose, right? We've been given gifts, desires, abilities, personality for our race. This is so freeing when we remember, when we understand, when we walk in this truth that God marked out a race for us and he shaped us for that race. That's freeing. That's what we're talking about, right? We want that freedom to walk in that truth. We don't have to be enslaved to comparison. We don't have to be caught in this place where we're trying to morph into someone else's shape and trying to run our race like they're running theirs. We don't have to be caught in that. We don't have to be enslaved to that comparison. I want to encourage you today, focus on your race. Let comparison go. Just let it go. Sing it if it helps. Let it go, right? Let it go. Like why would I can't win their race. Why would I try to look and act like them? Right? I can't win their race. Focus on your assignment, on your spouse, on your kids, your family, your calling, your ministry, whatever God has given you as a ministry. We know ministry is so much more than church. You have a ministry calling on your life, whether you work at a church or not. You have a ministry calling. So focus on your assignment. So important, right? It doesn't matter if other people's race looks more extravagant than ours. It's not about value. We know God doesn't place more value on some than others. We are called to be stewards of the talents we've been given. Whatever you have been entrusted with, steward it. Right? Be faithful to that assignment. I love saying it this way. We want to be so focused on watering our own grass that we don't have time to look around and see if other people's grass is greener. Get busy, right? Watering our grass. Philippians 3:14, I press on. Again, talking about that endurance, right? Just pressing on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Guys, we have a heavenly prize and we want to focus on that prize. So how do we do this? How do we focus on it? I love Hebrews 12:2. We read verse 1. Right after he says, run the race marked out for you, he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Like, he's the one that gave you the purpose in the first place. So keep your eyes on him. He has to be at the center, right? He's the one that gives us confidence because we find our identity in him. Let me ask you this morning, what is your purpose this week? If you think about this week and you try to apply what I'm saying to your life, what's your purpose? What's your race this week? And then I want you to ask yourself this question, maybe now, maybe when you go, maybe this week as you pray, am I trying to morph into someone else's shape? Is there part of me, is there part of my life where I'm letting that actually drive me? That I'm trying to morph into someone else's shape and run my race the way that they are? Is that pulling me out of the calling that God has for me? These are good questions to ask, right? Tell someone next to you, I can't win your race. And you can't win mine. You can't win mine. The second way that we combat comparison is by focusing on contentment. Focus on contentment. I love this quote from Craig Rochelle. He says, where comparison begins, contentment ends. So good, right? Where comparison begins, contentment ends. I've seen it over and over in my own life, and maybe you can relate. Comparison takes me from grateful to wantful. Takes me from grateful to wantful, right? And gratitude is such a foundational part of contentment. We want to have hearts of gratitude. We want to go through life with a lens, a perspective that we are blessed and that we are grateful, and we express that gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, in all of them, right? For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Gratitude is foundational for contentment, but what comparison does so often, for me, I see it in my life, and I think probably more of us do, it takes us from grateful to wantful. Right? We might love what we have. We might be thrilled. We might be so grateful for what we have until we look around and until we see that, oh, they have the nicer, newer, better, more awesomer version of whatever we have. And it goes from grateful to wantful. Right? We might be thrilled that we got the house we got. God blessed us and we got the house we got. But then we turn around and our friends, they build this amazing new house, or they do this whole home makeover, and suddenly our house kind of sucks, you know? Like, oh, right? Grateful to wantful, you know? And of course, that's not what God wants, right? Where comparison begins, contentment ends. I want to clarify too, this doesn't mean that we always have to be stingy, and that we only ever spend money on food and clothing. I don't think that that's what it means. What I'm talking about when I say contentment is a heart condition. This place that we're in, the condition of our heart, where we are not striving to make money and possessions and things what brings us meaning in life. That's not what we're striving to find satisfaction in. That place of contentment, I think, is a spiritual heart condition. Right? It's a spiritual heart condition. The thing with comparison is that it feeds a discontent in our hearts. And it often causes envy of other people, and that leads us to chase more. We chase more, and we find ourselves in a place of materialism because our motive is actually envy. Our motive is actually envy. Our motive is actually keeping up with others. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4 talks about this. This motivation of comparison and envy. It says, and I saw, this is Solomon saying in Ecclesiastes, I saw that all toil, all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. If our motivation for achieving things and working and toiling in life is based on our envy of others, we're chasing the wind. Has anyone ever tried chasing the wind? Maybe when we were kids, right, we would chase the wind, like But there's not a lot of purpose or accomplishment in chasing the wind, right? I think it's such an important question to ask ourselves often in life. Who am I doing all this for? Like, if it feels like we're just striving in life, just striving, who am I doing all this for? Like, what is this even, right? Like, who am I working for? Who am I toiling for? What's my motivation when I go to work, when I save up, when I think about the next thing I'm going to invest in? What's my motivation for that? Who am I doing this for? I think that's what Solomon finds himself doing. Who am I doing this for? And we know if it's not for God, it's all meaningless, right? In Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, it makes it so clear. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I want to say it's not that we shouldn't work hard. It's not that we shouldn't provide for ourselves and improve ourselves and even improve our lives. It doesn't mean that we should be complacent or plateau in life. But we do need to work for the Lord. That needs to be our motivation, right? That needs to be our motivation, not striving, not envy, not pursuit of things in a place of comparison, because that's, Solomon says, chasing the wind. It will never bring satisfaction or meaning. Contentment is your answer. Contentment is your answer. Be satisfied in what you have, because chasing more from a place of comparison will leave you wanting more. We've probably seen that in our lives. It leaves us wanting more. And I think that's what Solomon is getting at. No matter how much stuff you have, possessions, pleasure, success, whatever, it won't bring you meaning in life. And that's the picture he gives us if we look at Ecclesiastes 2. If we jump down to verse 9, actually, he's just finished saying how he used to try to find meaning in huge homes and beautiful vineyards and great sums of gold and money and silver and everything a man could desire, he says. And then he says this in verse 9. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I deny myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Like Solomon had everything that you could desire. Think about that. He tried everything that the world could offer, and nothing brought meaning. Nothing brought satisfaction. It's true, right? Comparison, it leads us to wanting more and chasing more. And naturally, we can't get enough. We don't naturally feel content, right? We naturally, our hearts, they just crave for more and crave for more. In our sinful human hearts, the sin in our hearts, it causes us to see that what we have right now is not enough. No matter where we are. Think about the people that win a jackpot in Las Vegas, and they go right back to the slot machines and they try to win more. Right? Or you think about, I heard about a guy named John Rockefeller. He was America's first billionaire, considered by many to be the wealthiest man in the world. And somebody asked him one day, out of all the millions of dollars that you have earned, out of all the millions of dollars that you have made, which was your favorite million? You know what he said? He said, the next one. The next million. It wasn't enough. Isn't that true? That's our heart condition. In our natural heart condition, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. When we get to where we think we want to go, let me remind you that you're probably in a place right now where once in your past, you thought that that's where you would be content. You were aiming for that place. Now you're there And how long were you content in your natural place in your heart? Right? No, we go and we get there, and then we want to get there, and then we want to get to the next, right? And we, that's life. That's in our nature. That's what our hearts do to us. And that's Solomon's point. Since you'll never have enough, because you won't, I won't. Don't bother making money and possessions your life goal. Don't bother. You're not going to have enough anyway. Right? Instead, this is what he says at the end of the book in chapter 12, verse 13. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. Guys, it comes back to God. Contentment is a supernatural heart condition, and we need God to have true contentment. We all have this God-shaped hole in our life, and if it's not God filling that void, we will not feel content. And that's what Solomon says. That's what Paul means when he says in 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Guys, if you want to be wealthy in life, pursue God, pursue godliness, and pursue contentment. Christ is enough. Christ is enough, right? He's enough. He brings true satisfaction when we have this longing for more. And I think we all know what that longing feels like. He is the one that brings satisfaction. It's a spiritual thing. And we need to turn to him. We need to turn to him. Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. It didn't matter how much he had, a lot or not much. He had Christ. Guys, that's the place we find contentment. And if we find ourselves longing for more, the way that we combat that is by putting our delight in Christ, by drawing near to him, by making him our everything, by finding our satisfaction in him. And as we do that, I believe he meets us in that place. So critical if we're gonna fulfill the calling God has for our life, amen? So I'm gonna just give you this sermon in two sentences in case some of you weren't listening. Just kidding, I'm sure you were all listening. But here it is in two sentences, okay? The whole sermon. Combat comparison by running your race. Focus on your purpose with a heart condition of contentment in Christ. He is the one that will bring true satisfaction. Amen? Stand as I close in prayer. I want to give us a chance to respond to what God might be doing in our hearts. And I just want to give you an opportunity. If you feel that comparison is pulling you away from your purpose, I want to give you a chance to respond to God and say, God, I give you this. God, help me. Help me, God. I want to focus on my assignment. I want to be faithful to what you call me to. My spouse, my kids, my ministry, whatever it is that you've placed in my heart, in my life, what you've designed me to do, the good things that you've intentionally, in advance, planned for me. God, help me. Help me. Help me to get busy watering my own grass. I want to focus on you, and I know I need to put my eyes on you, so God, help me. I commit to focusing on you, God, making you the center. And if today you feel comparison is causing you to have this ungodly discontent in your life, this longing for more that you know is not from God, I want to give you a chance to respond. Just say, God, I give you this. I recognize that chasing more will never fulfill me. Help me be content in you. I choose to make you what I delight in, God. I know that's where my contentment is found. I delight in you. You're beautiful. You are wonderful, God. Praise you for who you are. Father, I pray that today you would bless your people. Fill them with your spirit as they go. Anoint them for the purpose and the calling that you have for them this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.